Our reading for Sunday, April 19th, is going to begin in John chapter 18. I hope and pray that on this Lord's Day you're all well and safe, and looking forward to being able to meet together again on the Lord's Day as much as I do. John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let those men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire, because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So we finally have reached the point of the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. Verse 1 again makes the same statement that we've observed in previous couple of chapters when Jesus had spoken these words, continuing the discourse and the course of events that are recorded for us here. Now, John records these events differently than other gospel accounts, but that's because John's purpose is a little bit different. Remember, his purpose is so that you may believe. So there are some details that he does not provide that other gospel accounts do, because they are not part of that overall purpose. So it says that he went out with his disciples to this garden, and Judas knew of this garden because Jesus often met there with his disciples. Judas comes with this band of soldiers, officers, lanterns, torches, weapons. I realize that it's an official group. You know, they've been sent by the high priest to go and arrest Jesus, but it sounds a lot like a mob if you think about it. But they are those that are officers of the court, if you will. Verse 4, Jesus knew all this was going to happen. He comes forward and asks, "Whom do you seek?" Verse 5, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth," and he answers, "I am he." Now, I want to point something out here, that the English Standard Version says that his response was, "I am he." But if you go back to the Greek, both here and in verse 6 and in verse 8, when it says, "I am he" in this translation, the Greek actually stated just, "I am." I think that's very important. Remember, we discussed this earlier in our reading in the book of John, that God identified himself to the Jews as, "I am." When Moses asked, "Who should I say has sent me?" his response was, "I am." And so when he makes this statement, says they drew back and fell to the ground. They couldn't stand up against even the statement of who he is. Again, he asks, "Whom do you seek?" Same response. And then he says, "If you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what we read yesterday about not losing any of his disciples. Simon Peter draws his sword, cuts off the right ear of Malchus. Of course, John doesn't include it, but we know from other gospel accounts that Jesus restored his ear. He tells Peter, "Put your sword up. You know, this is what I've been telling you is going to happen," is basically what he's saying. So they bind him. They take him to Annas, who is the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the one that made the statement earlier in our readings that one man should die for the people. Verse 15, Peter follows, and along with another disciple. This other disciple is known, so he's allowed into the court of the high priest, and then he secures entrance for Peter as well. The servant girl looks at Peter and says, "You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he says, "I am not." So he denies Jesus just as Jesus told him that he would. Now the servants and officers, they made this fire. They're there warming himself. And then we have the questioning of Jesus. They want to know what he's been saying, what he's been teaching. They know exactly what he's been saying and teaching. This is all a farce. And again, other gospel accounts give us more information to know that false witness is given about Jesus during all of this. Jesus says, "I didn't say anything in secret. You know very well what I've been saying," which is absolutely the truth. So one of the officers strikes him, says, "Is that how you would answer the high priest?" And Jesus says, "If I said something that's wrong, or I would put in here false, then bear witness about it." But if you can't bear witness that it was wrong, then why do you strike me? That's a fair question. I mean, why did he strike him? This is all being built up. The frenzy of the coming mob is starting right here. I would also like to note that commentators point out that it was wrongful for this officer to strike Jesus. It was wrongful for them to strike anyone while they're being interviewed or examined in a process like this. So not only did he strike him saying that he was being disrespectful, even though he's not, he's doing it unlawfully altogether. They're not following their own rules of decorum, their own rules of justice. They're all breaking those rules. Again, this is the mob frenzy beginning. John shifts back to Peter at this point. Peter is standing there and warming himself. They said to him, "You also were not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Then Peter denies for the third time that he is a disciple of Jesus, and at once a rooster crowed. John doesn't give any more information, but of course we have it from other gospel accounts. They lead Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters, or the praetorium. It was early morning. They hid themselves, did not enter there, because they did not want to be defiled so they could eat the Passover. Interesting enough that they would be worried about being defiled by entering this presence when they're willing to break God's laws, to bear false witness, and to falsely arrest someone and accuse him so that he would be killed. John doesn't include nearly as much detail about the trial and all these various things, but he does include some very important things that are necessary for our faith and our understanding. And so Pilate meets them, asks for the accusation. You notice in verse 30 that they kind of skirt the question. They don't give a direct answer. "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." I realize that they gave more information because Pilate asks him directly. But the way John records this, it makes it look like they're trying to skirt the truth, and that's exactly what they're doing. They are bearing false witness and trying to skirt the truth. Pilate tells them, "Judge him by your own laws," and they say, "We can't because we're not allowed to put anyone to death." Historians say that 40 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, the right under Roman rule for the Jews to put anyone to death was taken away. So that's probably what they're referring to, that it's not lawful under Roman rule for them to put anyone to death except in extreme religious circumstances or in the case of Stephen, those that are blaspheming, religious only instances. They're making accusation against Jesus not in on only religious terms, so they were not able to put him to death under Roman rule, as far as my understanding goes. So, verse 32, this was fulfilling prophecy. Verse 33, now we see that there must have been more information given about the accusation, because he says, "Are you king of the Jews?" Verse 34, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" Pilate says, "Am I a Jew?" In other words, "How would I say it of my own accord? It's your people that bring you forth for this." And he says, "Well, what have you done?" But Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would be fighting, that I would not be delivered over. But my kingdom is not of this world." And so Pilate seems to understand what he's saying and then says, "So you are a king." And Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness about the truth." Then Pilate's famous question, "What is truth?" And basically Jesus' answer is to say, "Look, I came to speak the truth and to bear witness about the truth, and anyone that's willing to listen and heed the truth would listen to me or come under my authority." So with that explanation of him being a king, Pilate understands he's not claiming to be king of the Jews in terms of a nation. It's something else. After this, he goes out and says, I find no guilt in him. He says, but I have a custom, or we have a custom, that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they cried out, not him, but Barabbas, for Barabbas was a robber. But understand that actually is an insurrectionist. He was one that was a murderer and an insurrectionist even. And they would ask for this genuinely troublemaker type person to be released instead of Jesus. Now, I'm going to make a couple of my own thoughts about the insurrectionist part of this. Barabbas being an insurrectionist, the murdering part, I'm sure they didn't like. But the insurrectionist part, they probably did like, in that they would like that he's going against the rulers, but they couldn't openly support it because that would jeopardize their position. I would also note that part of the leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 comes from various insurrectionists along the way that end up being the Jews forming an army to make a formal insurrection against the Roman government. So just a couple of thoughts to kind of throw in there as far as history goes. Thank you for your attention today. We'll pick up with John chapter 19 tomorrow. I pray that you are all well and safe at this time. Ask that you continue in prayer for each other, especially for those that are on our sick list at this time. And ask that God be with us all.